coming up on NHL Fantasy on Ice. Buy low, sell high. The players to trade or pick up at just the right time. Advice on how to manage injuries to your lineup and reaction to the return of multiple top 50 players. Plus, your Twitter questions get answered. And DFS strategy heading into the weekend. NHL Fantasy on Ice. Drop the puck.
Pete Jensen, Rob Reese here with you on NHL Fantasy on Ice, Episode 2. We're recording this here on this Friday morning, and Rob, great to be with you again.
Likewise, Pete, and really nice to see a lot of the big names in hockey back on Thursday night. We had Jonathan Quick return. We had Freddie Anderson, who had that brief injury scare. He came back. A little bit of a concern, I think, for their performances, but nonetheless, good to see them back in action, and especially Corey Crawford, who hasn't played since December 23 of last season. Great to see him back in net for the Blackhawks last night.
The big returns, Dustin Byfuglien, great game, 3 points. Matt Murray, shutout on the road in Toronto. Are you kidding me? What an effort from him. We'll get to that later. Big slate of games on Saturday night, even a couple of Saturday day games that we're going to get to. A lot of injury implications. We're going to talk buy low, sell high type guys. We got a couple of good metrics to indicate different things. Reminder to everybody, subscribe on iTunes, Google Play. We got this podcast now on a bunch of platforms, full steam ahead, so we're really excited about it. Let's get right into it. The big injury from the other day, Wednesday night, Johnny Gaudreau, taken out of the game for concussion protocol. He was knocked down by Charlie McAvoy in the Bruins-Flames game. Thankfully, it sounds like he's going to be okay, and this is great news for the Flames and fantasy owners of Gaudreau. I am one of them. Johnny Gaudreau has been outstanding so far through the Flames' ups and downs so far.
Yeah, it was a high hit by McAvoy on Gaudreau. He did leave the game, and we saw briefly Sam Bennett play up top with Monahan and Lindholm. And then we also saw James Neal get a brief stint there too, maybe a shift or two at the end of the game. Hopefully Gaudreau is fine. I've heard that too. We will see if he plays in their game on Friday against the Nashville Predators. If he's good to go, great. Don't worry about it. You know, slot him in your lineup. If by chance he does miss the game, you are going to want to keep a close eye on Sam Bennett or James Neal in DFS or even season-long formats. I know some of those times a player leaves the game, they say they're fine right after the game, all of a sudden they're out for the next game. So I know I heard he is fine, but it is something I would keep a close eye on if I was a Johnny Gaudreau owner.
Yeah, definitely. And then another big injury, Brady Tkachuk, the star rookie, looked like he was in the Calder Trophy race. He's now out a month for the Ottawa Senators, who have a very interesting game on Saturday against the Montreal Canadiens, two of the surprise teams so far early on. But Brady Tkachuk, the rough thing about this situation is that it probably hurts the value of most of the players around him, Maxime Lajoie, some of these guys. Clearly, the Ottawa Senators are a team in flux right now with not many players beyond this season under contract, and this is just a tough development for them and their fantasy value, which has been a surprise so far.
Just as the Calder Trophy race for league's best rookie was heating up, we saw Brady Tkachuk get hurt, and right before he got hurt, Elias Pettersson of the Vancouver Canucks, the two leading scorers in the rookie race, both injured. So for Tkachuk, yeah, it's a major bummer, especially because I feel like we had so many either radio segments or TV segments where we were plugging those guys, really saying, hey, this is a player you have to roster. Not only roster, but you have to put in your starting lineup each and every time they're playing. So really bad news for the Senators. And yeah, I agree with you. I think it hurts that second power play where Maxime Lajoie, one of the most trendy ads on the waiver wire recently, is playing. Pretty upset about that too, but in terms of overall appeal from the Senators, I still like what they have going on. I still like that they're well coached by Guy Boucher. Maybe they survive, you know, with a .500 record while Brady Tkachuk is out of the lineup, meaning that they should still be somewhat fantasy relevant. And I really am keeping my eye on that game against the Montreal Canadiens on Saturday for two reasons. Number one, really good DFS plays on both sides of the tail. You can kind of pick and choose guys from either game. It could be a wide open game, or you could take the other approach where it's Carey Price, probably versus Craig Anderson. It could be one of the more underrated goalie games early on in this season.
Montreal's line with Gallagher, Philip Deneau, and Thomas Tatar has been red hot lately, so that's something we'll get to later, diving into whether or not that line is for real. or not. Big injury returns on Thursday night. Jonathan Quick, the goalies were the big story here. Jonathan Quick came back, Corey Crawford came back, Matt Murray came back, and Frederik Andersen came back. Matt Murray was the big star. Jonathan Quick was the dud. Where did the Kings go from here after getting lit up at home against the Islanders?
Is there a goalie controversy? Is Jack Campbell back and his value skyrocketing? I would pump the brakes on that. I mean, Jonathan Quick, first game back, it's always a little bit, everything in October, to be completely honest, in the NHL, right, is a little bit wonky. We have some trends that simply are not sustainable. We have teams that are a little bit banged up. They've got their lines in a blender right now. I'm not worried about Jonathan Quick. Who I am worried about, and this is probably a personal bias, I do have Frederik Andersen. I did reach on him in the season-long league that I care about. And for those of you that are listening that are in my other leagues, there is only one league I care about. You know which one it is. But but on a personal note, Frederik Andersen, this happens every October. So we can sit here and say everything we want. We're concerned. We're upset about his low save percentage. But it's almost like I should have knew what was coming in. You know, this is the same thing that happens every year.
He's a quality goalie, Frederik Andersen, but the state of the defense in front of him is not good. I know they've been putting up big offensive numbers, but that's not what we're talking about. You can't keep giving up 3+ goals a game, and that's what the Leafs have been doing. And the Leafs, interesting note, it's the first time this year that it's their eighth game, first time they were held beneath 3 goals, so big reality check.
Well,
there.
Their shooting percentage had to come down. It's a team, they were shooting over 15%. Like, that just doesn't add up. And Matthews was shooting over 50.
And they were converting at almost 50% on the power play.
Yeah.
I mean, we had them penciled in as the best power play unit in our offseason rankings.
Right, Ron Hainsey is not a fantasy-relevant defenseman like he has been the past 2 weeks.
Right, so it's interesting, certainly. The Maple Leafs, I expected before the season for them to roll through the regular season offensively, but of course the playoffs will be a different story, so something to look out for there. Then a really interesting result last night with the Coyotes beating the Blackhawks in Chicago. It was Jalmerson's return there, emotional scene. The Coyotes came to play, and the Coyotes are in action again on Saturday. I think we start to look at this team a little bit differently now. With their offensive explosion in this game, they were in a bad, bad 5-on-5 drought entering the game. But now they have this breakthrough. They have Galchenyuk hopefully coming back either in the next game or the following game on this road trip. Also, Jacob Chychrun on the mend from injury. So how do you view the Coyotes now? Antti Raanta's playing really well. Do you view the Coyotes differently now that the breakout finally happened?
The good news for Arizona is that October is almost over. They have not won back-to-back games in October since 2015-16. So for fantasy owners, yes, I am buying in on the Coyotes, and I probably will look on the waiver wire to see maybe some defensemen like Goligoski, who always seems to rack up these points out of the blue, whether it's secondary assists, primary assists. He's just getting on the board quietly. So I will look for streaming options there. For my personal team, I do have Alex Galchenyuk stashed on my bench, really hoping to see him back in action on Saturday night. I think it could be an immediate fit for them, that second line, and most importantly, their power play, where Oliver Ekman-Larsson, probably the Coyote that you were drafting first or second, depending on where you took Keller, in season-long formats, he's been a little bit snake-bitten, and I think that impact of Galchenyuk on the power play will really help OEL get going.
Galchenyuk led the Canadians last year. Remember a season where they were without Weber for most of the season, without Pacioretty for a big chunk, led them in power play points with 24, and he joins probably the second line. We hope he's going to play center. That's where he hasn't really gotten a fair shot at the NHL level just yet, consistency-wise. So I'm interested to see if maybe he could play with Vinny Hinostroza, who has really opened some eyes going back to last season with the Blackhawks, and even over his past 2 games has looked really good.
That's a great streaming option, Hinostroza. If you play the schedules, if you've got week-to-week matchups and you see that the Coyotes have 3 or maybe 4 games in that 1 7-day stretch, you've got to take a look at Vinny Hinostroza, especially if he's going to be with Galchenyuk on the second line. really quality streaming option.
And one thing that the Coyotes really needed and they got on Thursday night was a big effort from Clayton Keller. And that leads us to our point of buy low options, because now after, that's the thing with fantasy, after one big game, the buy low window could be closed. So that buy low window might be closed now with Keller, but there are a lot of good options out there. We looked at a couple of metrics. We looked at the lowest 5-on-5 shooting percentage plus save percentage, you know, entering Friday. So it's Detroit, St. Louis, Arizona, Vegas, and San Jose. So Arizona fits that mold. And then we also had the best 5-on-5 shot attempt differentials. We're talking the best. So the Sharks are number one, Hurricanes two, where they usually are. Then teams like Vegas and Arizona come to mind, and those are slow starting teams. So that really indicates that jumping on a Max Pacioretty or a Clayton Keller, if you still can, or an Antti Raanta or an OEL that you mentioned, some nice options here. Even one of those Vegas blue liners. I mean, nobody's really producing. Vegas has the worst power play in the NHL right now.
Well, that was a trend even we saw last year. That defenseman spot on the top power play was a rotating door. They had Brad Hunt playing at that spot at one point. They had Shea Theodore, who played on it for a little bit. They had Nate Schmidt, who played on it for a little bit. So that's a situation that I don't want to get involved in. I don't want to keep checking the box score to see, oh, Shea Theodore had 2 minutes and 30 seconds on the power play. Brad Hunt had 1 minute and 45 seconds. That's just too much stress for me. I'm going to pass on that whole blue line. Instead, target their left wing, Max Pacioretty. And I saw a stat that I really liked the other day. It said the Golden Knights had the third most posts or crossbars hit in the NHL. Kind of found that funny because the games that I've watched, Pacioretty, he hits the post. He's right down where he needs to be. The shots are so close to going in. Either there's great goaltending on the other team. It's kind of this like fluky thing that's just not going to last. I really think, and honestly, I would trade. If I had a guy like Cal Palmieri that's off to this really hot start for New Jersey, I would consider moving a guy on a hot start like that for Pacioretty, who people that have Pacioretty are probably trying to get rid of him.
Yeah, I like Pacioretty. I mean, he's one of the best even strength goal scorers in the league over the past 5+ seasons. So you got to take him seriously. Also, without Paul Stastny, let's give Pacioretty credit. He has generated 19 shots in 7 games this season, only 1 goal. A little concerning his ice time in the last game against the Buffalo Sabres, only 13 or so minutes. But I think that it's a new team, new line combinations. Eric Halla shifted over. I mean, there's some kinks to work out. And the way the NHL is right now, there's no night off. You can't.
No.
There's no gimme games anymore.
But get Pacioretty before Stastny comes back too, because that's when his value is going to skyrocket. If you buy in now while his value is at an all-time low, there's only up from there.
Right. He could bounce back. Now Stastny could miss up to 2 months because of that injury, but he could bounce back before that and then take it up to a new level once Stastny returns. So that's a great point there. Yeah, so we had a fan question. Pacioretty to buy low. The guy has Kreider and Patrick Marleau. He wants to target in a trade for Pacioretty.
That's a no-brainer. I mean, that's a fleece. If you trade Chris Kreider and Patrick Marleau and get Pacioretty, that's a fleece.
Yeah, and he says it's a one-year league. So, I like the exposure from Marleau to Matthews, but that could change any moment, especially once Nylander comes back. So, yeah, Pacioretty, especially if you're dealing with lower-end guys like that or maybe a hot starter that we have ranked outside.
Well, the tail end of this question says, I have Pettersson, who I could also include in the trade offer. No. Don't do that. Keep Pettersson on your bench. Definitely, I know he's injured right now. Keep him stashed. Don't care if he misses another month. As soon as he comes back, whatever it's going to be, he will score right away.
But he also might only miss a couple of games.
Right, he could be back on Saturday.
We heard a 7 to 10 day timetable.
Right.
So don't go crazy with the Pettersson movement. I mean, Brady Kachuk's a different story. He's out for a month. But yeah, I agree with that about Pettersson.
What about Crawford? I've got a lot of fan questions. One from Rocco at Rocky Daz. With Crawford coming back off IR, do I drop Mrazek? He also has Freddie Anderson, or drop a defenseman, maybe Joki Haru, Shattenkirk, Hampus Lindholm? This one is interesting because before the Blackhawks played on Thursday against the Coyotes, when Crawford returned, I would have said yes. Make the deal right away and don't look back. Sure, maybe you look at the first game. Crawford had, you know, four goals against. I think one might have been an empty netter at the end of the game. I know Q pulled him with, I think it was like 4 minutes left. So a little aggressive there. But for me, I still like Corey Crawford. And this Blackhawks team, their underlying statistics this year are really good. They're generating a lot of shots for. Their possession metrics are off the charts. And Jonathan Toews is scoring at a 1.8 points per game pace right now because of Alex DeBrincat and Dominic Cahoon, the rookie winger. So for Corey Crawford, I think his value is immense. And if he can play anywhere between a 915 to 920 save percentage, this team is going to rack up wins.
Before he missed time last year from December on, he was a top 10 goalie for a team that was not going to the playoffs.
Yeah, he had a 929 save percentage last year.
And he wasn't getting anywhere near the goal support that they've provided for guys like Cam Ward and the backup so far this year. So yeah, even with this rough start to the, you know, to his return, losing to the Coyotes at home, I really trust Corey Crawford as a top 15 goalie when he's fully healthy. That question, though, the easy answer for me is drop a defenseman. He has Shattenkirk there.
Right, name sticks out like a sore thumb to me.
Drop Kevin Shattenkirk and keep Peter Mrazek, who's in a timeshare situation and who I still kind of like more than McElhinney and even Darling when he comes back.
I can't see Darling bouncing back. I was talking to somebody on a show last night that said that they were high on Darling coming back and bouncing back. I see him coming back. I don't see him bouncing back.
I like what I know Mrazek's stats don't look good right now, but the eye test for me when I've seen, he's made some big saves for that team. He's kept that team in the games that he's played. The league is high scoring right now. Sometimes he's going to get thrown in there against a high scoring team. And, you know, I thought he played really well in that game against Winnipeg.
And if you think about it, Curtis McElhinney, who they got from Toronto on waivers, is playing well enough to earn the true backup role. So if Mrazek even has a decent start or two in the next week before Darling comes back, that is their 1-2 tandem right there going forward.
Right, and we had two other fan questions regarding Corey Crawford, both very interesting, and both of which I think I would say take Crawford over the other goalie in question. One is, would you get Crawford for Jake Allen? I think that's a no-brainer.
It is.
And then would you rather have Corey Crawford or Mike Smith? Mike Smith is old, injury concerns. The Flames have been up and down. I know this Gaudreau injury doesn't seem serious, but I would probably err on the side of caution and go with Crawford over Mike Smith.
This one I'm a little biased on. I did used to work for the Flames. I do like Mike Smith. It is a little bit Jekyll and Hyde with him, as it always is. I can tell you this much. He has really good numbers in December. He is a little bit of a perennial slow starter. You're going to see some 5 goals against games. That's just what you get with Mike Smith. But I believe in this Flames team. I predicted them finishing third in their division, making that playoff spot. I believe Mike Smith is going to rack up the wins. You might lose a little peripherals with that. I think this is, I would say, and hold Mike Smith on that.
The Flames also, for what it's worth, have beaten Boston and Nashville already this season. I know they've been a little up and down, but that's a good point, good counterpoint regarding Mike Smith's value for the rest of the season. So for sell high now, we already talked about buy low. The teams that come to mind and that the metrics suggest could take a dip here are the Anaheim Ducks, New Jersey Devils, and Ottawa Senators. We know that the Tkachuk situation will aid that for possible regression for these hot starters for the Senators. But teams like Anaheim and the Devils, especially Anaheim, falls into that category of highest 5-on-5 shooting percentage plus save percentage, and also the worst 5-on-5 shot attempts differential in the NHL by far. That's the Anaheim Ducks. I know they're going to get guys back eventually. They're going to get Getzlaff back maybe over the weekend, maybe Saturday against the Vegas Golden Knights. They also have Eves coming back eventually, hopefully. They have Andre Kasha, who had the concussion, hopefully on the mend. And then Corey Perry down the road further, a couple of months down the road. But this Anaheim team, are they for real right now? Because they overpowered the Islanders the other night with a depleted lineup. Some of their rookies are really stepping up here. Do you see some cause for concern, though, because of these metrics?
Not as long as John Gibson keeps playing the way he is. And he is the best goaltender when they're shorthanded, and he is the best goaltender in the league at even strength currently. So as long as he keeps performing, I'm not too worried about the Ducks. If I do have maybe a Max Comtois, the rookie that's scoring on the left wing, that might be a sore spot for me moving forward when those big guys come back on the right side and maybe take some of those goals around. There can only be so many cooks in the kitchen. Great expression to kind of illustrate that situation. But that whole team, it's their blue line that I'm a little bit worried about. Right now, Hampus Lindholm is playing at a point-per-game pace. Coming into the season, I thought it was going to be Brandon Montour that would be excelling for them on the blue line offensively from a fantasy standpoint. That might be a player I look at. I know he scored 13 goals last year. That might be a player that I would be willing to move right now just on the sheer basis that it's probably going to be Brandon Montour that gets that offensive output. He's a little bit snake-bitten right now. We've also seen Cam Fowler have a nice resurgence so far with 3 or 4 assists in the first couple of games. So that might be a player that I am willing to part with. Otherwise, I'd probably just hold on the Ducks, you know, not touch Gibson, not think about, you know, if I had Getzlaf moving him, anything like that.
And actually, the Ducks have a nice buy low option in Rickard Rakell, who we got a fan question on. What should I do with Rickard Rakell? He hasn't scored in a few games. He's not playing with Getzlaf now because of the injury. So Rickard Rakell is someone that we were both very high on. I'd say I'd be patient with this situation, especially when you consider that Getzlaf could come back and it could be Getzlaf, Terry, and Rakell, or also could be Eaves, who has good chemistry with those two as well.
I would even say my best buy low for the Ducks is Andre Kasha, who I thought had 30-goal potential this season. He could play that right wing spot on the top two lines as well, fit in seamlessly and score right off the get-go. We're just waiting for him to come back.
Interesting note about those Ducks defensemen. Like Hampus Lindholm right now, by the time we get to a week or two from now, he could be off the fantasy grid. So if you could entertain any offers with him to sell high, I would do it because there's just too many guys, as you mentioned, in that equation for the Ducks defensemen. So New Jersey Devils got a little back down to earth against the Colorado Avalanche on Thursday. Keith Kincaid is a guy that we got a fan question on. Someone asked me, you don't think Keith Kincaid could be a top 10 goalie? I think he's capable of that, but I'm worried to pencil him in as that, especially with Corey Schneider coming back eventually. I think Keith Kincaid is a good sell-high candidate, in my opinion.
Keith Kincaid is definitely 10 to 15 in that range for goalies. That's where I would probably keep him almost all season long, presuming that he does keep that number one spot when Corey Schneider comes back from injury. I would look at Paul Mary as the guy that I would sell high on. Look, when the Devils, they played, I watched their game against the Avalanche on Thursday. They played as good of a game as you can play and not win it. They scored 3 goals, and it all came from their fantasy-relevant players. What concerns me is they can't get the goal from the third or fourth line that will help those fantasy-relevant players stay in the game, maybe get you a goal late or something when it's 3-on-3 overtime. That's why I would sell high on Kyle Palmieri.
They're totally a one-line team, and they have their defensemen involved with Butcher and Vatanen. Strong goaltending, but I agree. If that line ever tapers off, they're in big, big trouble in the playoff race in the East.
Speaking of playoff teams, I have a fan question from @NatePuck. We see you, Nate Puck. Actually, NatePuck12 on Twitter. He just traded Fleury and Kapanen, who, by the way, Kapanen is one of the biggest sell-high candidates at this moment in time in fantasy hockey. So he traded Fleury and Kapanen for Bobrovsky and DeBrincat. Have Nylander stashed on bench, period. Thoughts? I love it. I think you made a blockbuster. I think you might have sealed the championship ring coming to your door in late February, early March for fantasy hockey. That trade is exactly what you want to be doing with the Kasperi-Kapanen situation. I like Kapanen. We saw that he can prove on his own in the AHL. He had 57 points in 61 games. Auston Matthews wasn't playing in the AHL. So for the critics that are saying it's only because of Auston Matthews, it's not. The reality here is that when William Nylander comes back, if he comes back from this contract situation before December 1st, which is the deadline, Nylander is going to get those minutes. He's already got that chemistry with Matthews. That is a different player than Kasperi-Kapanen, who I also would love to package into trade.
Right. Nylander is either going to be with Matthews at even strength or the power play, probably at even strength, I think, based on the strides he took in those situations last season compared to his rookie season where it was mostly on the power play. And then I think at worst, Nylander, from an insurance policy, at worst he'll be on the third line with Nazem Kadri and boost his value. So I think, that's a great strategy, underrated strategy, really, for so many people who are weighing, should I pick up Kapanen? So many people have him right now. Sell high, and especially if you have Nylander, that's a great idea for fantasy owners. Now let's dive into the slate here. We have a bunch of games. We have 3 4-day games, starting with Devils Flyers. So the Flyers, to me right now, Wayne Simmonds is on an island on either the second or third line. Their secondary scoring has taken a huge hit with these injuries to JVR and Nolan Patrick. So they're at home where they haven't played very well at all. I think this is a nice bounce back situation for the Devils. Depending on Nico Hischier's price, you might be able to get some affordable exposure to Taylor Hall and Kyle Palmieri on the road against a shaky goalie.
I'm also looking at this game and thinking maybe the Flyers are going to bounce back. Tough outing against Columbus. They lost 6-3 on Thursday. Again, we're seeing real shaky goaltending from them. However, I think we did see, and congratulations are in order for Ivan Provorov, who registered his first point of the season. Finally, the weight is off of his back. I think that assist, although it is one assist, I think that goes a long way for a player like that that is so immensely talented, just hasn't been able to get anything going this year. And one of the interesting things that this is creating is the other Flyers blue liners now. We're starting to see Robert Hägg chip in. He kept his little scoring streak going. He had a goal against the Blue Jackets. But he doesn't have the offensive pedigree like a Provorov does. So if anybody's asking me on Twitter, which a lot of people have, what am I going to do with Provorov? Well, I just released my top 50 defenseman rankings, and Provorov is still among the top 25. Robert Hägg will not be entering the top 50 or the five others in the just miss category. He's just not going to keep that going. Right now, this is one of those early season trends. One player steps up while another player is dipping off.
He has 5 points in his first 7 games. I would not bank on that keeping up. That said, he can be very valuable if your league weighs hits and shots very heavily. He has 26 hits already. That's crazy. More than 3 per game for the Flyers defenseman. So he's showing a little offensive outbreak here. So now Avalanche at Hurricanes, 1 p.m. day game, 2 timeshare situations. So keep an eye on who's starting for each team. I like the bounce back from Philip Grubauer on Thursday night. Everybody's counting him out. Everybody's on the Semyon Varlamov hype train. I liked Grubauer as a sleeper coming into the year, and it was nice to see him bounce back to get people's heads straight again that this is a potential timeshare in the months ahead. No doubt Varley has the early edge, though.
I am having flashbacks to last season too, when Braden Holtby had some shaky games or he had a bad start. The Caps turned to Grubauer. All of a sudden, he had a good start against a good opponent. You have to ride that, and I couldn't agree with you more. I know that you got to ride Varley while he's hot early in the season. I think that Grubauer is one of the better sleepers this year, and if he continues to rack up these wins, if he gets the call against the Hurricanes, who are a really quality opponent early in the season, and they win that game with Grubauer, watch out, because they're heading back to Denver with Grubauer in the starter's net.
And another thing to note, now that Quick is back, I know for a fact that a lot of you guys out there have dropped Grubauer for a Casey DeSmith or a Jack Campbell. Wake up and pick up Philip Grubauer again. The Avalanche offense is rolling right now. I picked them to make the playoffs. I know they're a fringe team, but I really like what they got going on, carrying over the momentum from last season. On the Hurricanes side, we should point out Justin Falk is still playing on that first power play unit and is probably worth drafting, even on a big slate of games with that exposure to Sebastian Aho, Teuvo Teravainen. Anything from the Hurricanes side other than Falk that catches your eye?
Ferland's a great streaming option in season long or DFS. Certainly if his price is right in DFS, maybe it's in the mid fives, low fives, certainly worth rostering if you don't want to spend up for the Aho or the Teravainen.
Now, Kings, Sabres, both coming off a loss. Rasmus Dahlin now quietly has 3 points in 7 games, playing 19 minutes a game. I wouldn't mind rolling him out against the Kings. The Kings have some issues right now. They're not clicking on the power play. The goaltending was a concern in recent games. Even before Quick came back, Campbell took a step back in those 2 starts, allowing 8 goals total. Buffalo Sabres, LA Kings, are you leaning a certain way here?
It's funny that Rasmus Dahlin, who was the first overall pick in the 2018 NHL draft, is now a rookie sleeper for the Calder race. He's a sleeper. I mean, because Elias Pettersson and Brady Tkachuk were lighting it up, now you're seeing Dahlin quietly get on the score sheet. He is a sleeper in the Calder race. I love it. For this game, I am not really leaning a certain way. I'll tell you why. Buffalo had a bad showing. LA had a bad showing. Hard to get a pulse on who's really bouncing back. If I had to go with a gut call, I would say LA is more likely to bounce back. Buffalo is nearing the end of this long road trip. They've been out west for a little while now. They want to get home. I would say the Kings might be all over that. However, it's that weird 3:30 p.m. start time, Eastern time, which for LA, that's a very early game. Those are just wacky games. I usually try to avoid those on the slate.
Yeah, it's a day game, so make sure you're in the right contest if it includes day games and night games. I think Jonathan Quick, if he's in the net, is a slam dunk here. The Sabres have not, they've been inconsistent. They haven't lived up to expectations, in my opinion. I would roll Jonathan Quick here. With a strong defense in front of him. And keep in mind, in that Islanders score, it was 7-2, but the Islanders at one point scored on four consecutive shots on goal. That almost never happens. So I would expect the correction here for the LA Kings.
Coyotes at Jets, another intriguing game on the slate Saturday. We talked about Alex Galchenyuk coming back earlier. Hopefully he's in the lineup. Certainly from a DFS standpoint, keep your eye on that. But honestly, you know, that would be a little bit of a risky play, something to keep an eye on. But I think anybody's first game back in a season is worth monitoring. It's worth checking the box score after, seeing how much ice time he had, seeing how much power play time on ice he had, seeing if there were some shots or any blocks. That would be a very aggressive start. For the Jets, Connor Hellebuck at home, what more can you say? However, I did check his record against the Coyotes. He's only playing at a 906 save percentage against Arizona, something that I think if you thought this was a DFS lock, you might want to look elsewhere. Same thing with Antti Raanta, who's been playing really well. His record against the Jets, his save percentage is like 886. That goaltending matchup is probably one I don't want to be involved in on Saturday either.
Now, I'm looking at, in that matchup, the Jets' second line. I know that I said to stack them in the most recent game. In our first episode, I said to stack Ehlers and Laine. They didn't get it done for you then, but it was only a matter of time. Now, Ehlers has three assists total over his past two games. Brian Little's really producing for the Jets. He's grabbed a stranglehold on that second-line center role that we thought would go to Jack Roslovic. Instead, so far, it's going to the veteran Brian Little. I would draft Brian Little, whether or not you take Patrick Laine, just because of that exposure.
There is a fan question from Ken that says, Jeff Skinner or Nikolaj Ehlers. This is a no-brainer. It's Nikolaj Ehlers, like you just mentioned. He's on a roll now.
We have Ehlers ranked ahead of Skinner in our top 200, which, by the way, we're updating on a weekly basis this season. This is one of our top-performing stories year-round on NHL.com, not just talking fantasy, all stories on NHL.com. So keep it going. Keep looking at our top 200. We'll have a lot of trade proposal. You know, it's a way for you to gauge your trade proposals on a weekly basis and even a daily basis at some point. So Jeff Skinner, I mean, he's one of those guys people are wondering, should they drop? I know we just talked about the Sabres. He's still on that second line, still on the second power play unit. What's going on with Jeff Skinner?
Well, I do have Jeff Skinner on one of my teams. I have not been putting him on my lineup. That says a lot, considering he's a perennial 30-goal scorer. He racks up shots. It's just not happening. And you know what? Quite frankly, it's not going to happen if he stays on that second line in Buffalo. Right now, I'm not going to drop Jeff Skinner, but as soon as an attractive name comes on that waiver wire that's maybe hot, I will play the streaming option all week long where I'm going to roster a guy that's hot, stream him for 1 week, drop him, pick up the next guy that's hot. That's honestly what I'm contemplating doing with Jeff Skinner here.
I mean, honestly, we've heard a lot of rumblings from fans. They're thinking about dropping Sam Reinhart. Right now, other for the Sabres, other than keeping a hold on Dahlin and keep throwing out guys, you know, their top guys like Eichel and Ristolainen, and there's not really much there right now. Mittelstadt has been a dud as a rookie. In a rookie class where really it's up for grabs right now with those top two guys injured and the other best rookies being Svechnikov, who's in a bottom six role. Dahlin and Heiskanen have not been super productive as defensemen. So the Calder race is there to be won, or at least contended with Mittelstadt, but we haven't seen it so far.
St. Louis Blues at the Toronto Maple Leafs on Saturday. We've seen a little bit of something going on here with St. Louis where their lines are all scrambled up. They had Jordan Kyrou, the rookie, playing on their top line up versus Montreal in their game Wednesday. He had 12 minutes played, so probably not worth rostering there, in my opinion. And we see Toronto, they got shut out against Pittsburgh. I think, to say the least, it would be a contrarian play to roster Jake Allen or anybody on that Blues team facing this Toronto team that's going to be hungry after coming off a shutout loss.
I agree on Jake Allen. That said, I would keep an eye on, with the way that the Leafs are giving up goals this season, I would keep an eye on the second power play unit of the St. Louis Blues. In my opinion, it's better than the first right now. On the first, you have Tyler Bozak, Vince Dunn, and Patrick Maroon. And on the second, you have Shen, Schwartz, Steen, Petrangelo. Are you kidding me? Second power play unit in St. Louis is worth streaming in DFS, even in deep season long leagues. Alex Steen has been pretty good. Jaden Schwartz is back from injury, that little scare he had. So keep an eye on that Blues second power play unit if you're making your lineup. Maybe try to get one of those guys in there.
It was the first time all season that Toronto was held for under 3 goals. I'm asking myself, why can't they win a game 2-1? Maybe they can't. Maybe this game, Blues at Maple Leafs, this could be a 5-4 situation. This could be a DFS player's dream scenario here. For me, I definitely would lean Toronto in this. I like the bounce back appeal. I hope they turn right back to Freddie Anderson, who would be my goalie of choice. You know why? Because his DFS price is going to be lower after getting shelled. So if Freddie Anderson is going, put him in. I don't think St. Louis has the firepower to hang with the big dogs in Toronto.
I think the Blues score a couple of goals, but yeah, Anderson probably gets the win in that game, coming off the loss to Matt Murray. Canadian Senators, we touched on this game earlier. Craig Anderson's confirmed to start. Brady Tkachuk, we talked about those implications. Thomas Tatar, is this guy for real? Because early in his career with the Detroit Red Wings, he looked like he was going to be a high-end goal scorer, kind of fell off the map these past 2 years, has found a nice home in Montreal where he's playing with Deneau and Brendan Gallagher. And in our top 100 forward rankings, I didn't get either of them in, Gallagher or Tatar, but both of them are pushing the envelope. Both are making a strong case if their collective success continues.
For Thomas Tatar, keep in mind that Vegas, who acquired him at the trade deadline last season, gave up a first-round pick for. So this is a player of high caliber that people feel strongly about around the league. The cause of concern for me here is Montreal in general. They are winning games by a fine margin right now. Carey Price and their team save percentage. Look, their team save percentage is .906. The last season when they made the Stanley Cup playoffs was in 2016-17. They had a .918 save percentage. Here's another interesting fact. Antti Niemi, he's 2-0-0 with an .888 save percentage. I don't think that's possible. You can't win games like that. This Montreal team concerns me, and I know Claude Julien, I have a lot of respect for that coach there. I think they're very well coached. They're practicing hard. They're skating hard. Every shift counts in Montreal. It's just not good enough. They're not gonna keep pacing the Atlantic, and something's gonna give here. In fact, I would flip the coin and say the Senators are the team a little bit hungrier now that Tkachuk is out. Next man up mentality. I would target some low buy-in options on that Senators team. The guy I like most doesn't have a goal yet. Matt Duchene. His price is gonna come down. There's a number one center option for your DFS lineups. Underpriced, interesting game versus two hot teams right now. Definitely buying on Matt Duchene before those goals start coming.
And Duchene will be the best center on the ice in that game on both sides. Mark Stone as well. He's another one of those buy low guys. He was better than a point per game last season. Doesn't really have a great center. Was playing a little bit with Tkachuk before his injury. I might roll out Mark Stone depending on his price point. I think he might be a good option, especially to finally break through this regular season. Red Wings at Panthers. So the Panthers are playing Friday night against the Washington Capitals. Interesting scenario for them is they've been demoting guys into their bottom six all week. First, it was Jonathan Huberdeau. They moved him into the bottom six. Then it was Mike Hoffman, who's been moved down there now multiple times in games, at practices. So this Panthers team is winless entering Friday, and they're facing the Detroit Red Wings, who are winless 0-5-2 on Saturday. So maybe if the Panthers don't get it done on Friday night against the Capitals in a tough spot, they go crazy on this Detroit Red Wings team in a reverting back to normal.
Jonathan Huberdeau and Mike Hoffman, those are elite names, too good of players to be playing in the bottom six. And to be quite honest with you, if they get shelled in Washington tonight, which they may, they may not be able to keep pace in that game. Let's just call a spade here. There's too much line changes. Their power play, they were rolling out five forwards at one point. I've never seen that happen in the NHL before. Something just isn't right here. I'm not sure what it is. I would stay away from the Panthers against Washington. But for Washington, load up. Get Kuzi, get the stack, John Carlson, Ovi. I mean, roll them all out. But what concerns me here is that if they lose against the Capitals, that game for the Red Wings just got a lot more appealing looking for their first win. If Panthers keep rolling their lines like this, they keep having those inconsistencies, I would honestly look at the Red Wings, a guy in particular that I like, Tyler Bertuzzi, who seemingly, even in these losses, he's seemingly coming out of the game with a goal, maybe a plus one rating, which is really impressive on that Red Wings team
right
now. Good
category coverage for Bertuzzi, and the good thing is their lines were put into the blender. He's been in the top six no matter what, no matter who's been there, so that's something to be said about the young dual-eligible forward in Yahoo.
Let's look at the Blackhawks, who are playing the Columbus Blue Jackets. Interesting goaltender duo here. Hopefully we get Bobrovsky, and I hope Joel Quenneville goes right back to Corey Crawford in this one to really get the good test of him early in the season. I like this game from a goaltender's perspective. We saw Chicago, their offense finally dried up. Their power play is a little bit of a concern right now to me. Yoki Haru, the defenseman who's been a really trendy waiver wire ad early in the season, you can't get him anymore. His ownership is too high. Now I checked the transaction trends this morning. People are already dropping him. I would say pump the brakes there. He's still leading that defenseman. He's still leading that blue line in time on ice for power play. It's still his spot with Kane and Taves and those big guys. But this game in general, it's got to be a statement game for both teams. Columbus played a good game against Philly, but they still allowed three goals. John Tortorella is not a happy camper walking into that locker room after letting up three goals to Philly right now, who is just all over the map. I think this is going to be a tight game. So either one of the goaltenders in this game, I would be happy rostering in DFS.
I would probably stay away from the goalies here. One player to note for the Blue Jackets, Anthony Duclair is playing really well on a line with Alexander Wenberg and Nick Foligno. He has 4 points in six games. Good to see there because he fell out of favor. Remember, played really well early in his career with the Rangers, but then fell out of favor in Arizona and then Chicago. So he was kind of on the outside looking in for a top six role, but he's earned it so far. And then the Blackhawks, we should note, Dominic Cahoon, just still a great value in DFS, playing on that line with Taves and DeBrincat, who each have at least a point in each of their six games. Been one of the best line trends of the season so far. Chicago seems to be stacking up its best players in the top six, as they should, and also on that first power play unit. So I kind of agree about Yoki Haru. The defenseman landscape outside the top 40 is so up for grabs that Yoki Haru, with the usage he's getting, should be retained in most leagues. Lightning at Wild. The Wild are another team that'll be on the second of a back-to-back on Saturday. They're playing on Friday against the Dallas Stars, who have been all over the place. So maybe the Minnesota Wild are a good team to target against Dallas, who have been a little underwhelming on a game-to-game basis.
For their game Saturday, though, I do like Tampa. Tampa has something good going. We saw Steven Stamkos finally break through at even strength, which, by the way, now gives him a total of 5 even strength points in the last 18 games. Still not going to cut it. So any one of those secondary scorers in Tampa, Andre Palat, Tyler Johnson, their prices, I love it. As soon as a big guy like Stamkos scores in DFS, they think to lower the prices of the secondary guys like Johnson and Palat. That's when I come in, roster those guys, and they end up getting the points. So in that Wild game, I really like Palat or Johnson, anybody on that second line for Tampa.
And Braden Point's playing well. He's playing with Stamkos on the first line. Also Yanni Gourde on that line. And we have a fan question about Steven Stamkos, who is viewed as a perennial elite fantasy player. No, it's early. This is from Skyler Stroud on Twitter. He's looking to see if he should trade Steven Stamkos for another elite player because he's not on Kucherov's line. With some of these guys taking a big step up early in the season, between Bergeron and Kuznetsov and, you know, some of these names, we look at Stamkos in a different light. Do you still view him as a player that's going to finish in, say, the top 20 when it's all said and done?
Did you see what I responded to him? I actually said I would do a one-for-one swap for Bergeron or Kuznetsov.
I didn't see that.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, so that's hilarious. I absolutely would do that. And, you know, it's really the only thing that concerns me with Stamkos. He's going to produce on the power play. That's a given. He's going to be in the 20 to 30 power play point range. You can almost take that to the bank. Kuznetsov and Bergeron are getting you those other categories. They're scoring at even strength. Their plus minus rating is going to be better at even strength. So for me, it's a no-brainer. Sell high, especially if he starts scoring. If Steven Stamkos has another goal on Saturday, for me, this sounds crazy. That's even more incentive to trade him while he's hot.
A lot of concerns for that team as well, going back to the playoffs, how their goal scoring took a hit. Now they're changing lines. You thought it was one of the elite duos in the league with Kucherov and Stamkos, but not so much lately with the triplets back together. Bruins at Canucks. Bruins are really inconsistent outside of that top line. I'm not sure I would take a flyer on anyone other than maybe Jake DeBrusque. I mean, I know he snapped out of it a little bit lately, but guys like Heinen's back in the lineup, but he was a healthy scratch. Donato's been a healthy scratch. Their second through fourth lines have not been impressive, and I'm a guy that has picked the Bruins to go very far in the playoffs. I haven't been impressed at all by their second through fourth lines.
So the Bruins will be on their last game of that Western Canadian road trip, which is normally a nice little incentive for them in the locker room. Hey, we got to go home after this finally. I do like that kind of side angle storyline. They had a tough showing in Edmonton. The Calgary game, which, by the way, was just a weird game. So they got beat there too. I look for them to try and make a statement here on the tip end of their road trip and say, look, we got to go home with a win. The Atlantic Division right now is too crazy not to get these early season points. I would look at a guy like David Krejci, who's going to be a value center play. He's quietly racking up some assists. I know if you want to spend up for the Marchands or the Bergerons or the Pasternaks, you can't fault somebody for that. But David Krejci, the value might really be there. If you're going to spend up for some of these other elite guys, look at a team like Boston that could squeak out a 3-2 win in that game. I would look at David Krejci, feel really good about putting him in my lineup on Saturday.
Good point. And he does play with DeBrusque, so that's probably a low-priced stack if you even want to go in on the fact that the Bruins are going to try to finish that road trip strong.
Absolutely. And we have the Anaheim Ducks at the Golden Knights, one of the last couple games on the slates here. Getzlaf could be coming back. Certainly something to watch there in the Ducks top six. Good streaming options include Ryan Kessler, Adam Henrique, Max Comtois. Those are guys that you could really slot in at any given point early on in the season in DFS. For season long, look at a guy like Sam Steele, the rookie who's leading all rookie forwards in time on ice. Really surprising there for Anaheim. He put up big numbers in junior. He was an overage junior player to the last end of his career, so maybe taper your expectations slightly for the season-long aspect of it, but certainly a quality streaming option for the Anaheim Ducks versus the Golden Knights on Saturday.
I like Max Comtois, and the more I think about it, I think that this guy could stick in the top six for a team that's going to be in contention clearly in the Ducks. I think he could stick there all season because this team is right-wing heavy. Kasha, Perry when he comes back, Silverberg, Eves, Terry. I mean, all right wings. He's a left wing. He's produced a point in six of his seven games to this point in the season. I would continue to stream him. He's still cheap in DFS. Max Comtois, whether he's playing with Kessler or Getzlaf or whoever, Henrique, a great streaming option and a great injury replacement for Brady Tkachuk at left wing. Predators, Oilers, Nashville, second of a back-to-back. They play Calgary on Friday again. Hopefully, Johnny Gaudreau plays. This second line seems snake-bitten for Nashville. Kevin Fiala has done nothing. Kyle Turris has been a disappointment. Craig Smith, who seems to be in that top 150 overall range because of his shot volume and everything else and the points he produces, has been quiet so far. Nashville, beyond its top line and its defensemen, I don't know if there's really anything there.
I was looking at Ryan Ellis, actually. I thought he might be a good value defenseman play in this game for DFS. His career versus the Edmonton Oilers, he has 3 points in 17 games. I'm not going to buy in on that. And I agree with you. I wouldn't really buy in on their secondary scoring in this game. Instead, I like Edmonton to keep this little homestand going. They had a great win, 3-2 against the Boston Bruins. Nobody thought they were going to win that game. Definitely look at Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. He was $6,200 against the Bruins on Thursday. That price point probably might jump up to $6,400, $6,500 because he did score a goal. I'm still comfortable paying mid-6,000s for Ryan Nugent-Hopkins because you don't have to pay $11,000 or $12,000 for McDavid. You still get the same exposure to him.
And one thing we should note from that Oilers game, they combined McDavid and Draisaitl on the same line a little bit. And Draisaitl, very quiet. I know he's viewed as a disappointment, but Edmonton has not played many games, and he's produced a point in almost all of them. So Leon Draisaitl, if you can acquire him via trade on the buy low type of angle, I would encourage it. And then the last one of the night, Islanders at Sharks. So this is the rematch from when the Islanders shockingly shut out the Sharks at Barclays Center 4-0. I expect a different result here. I know the Islanders are coming off a high, but the Islanders are a type of team where they will catch you by surprise because of their work ethic and their coaching staff. But I think when a team is well prepared for them, like the Sharks are, they scored 3 power play goals on Thursday night, the Sharks, so they already started to bounce back. I would go Sharks heavy in this game, whether it's LeBanc, Timo Meier, some great options on San Jose's top 6.
I was talking about their power play on the last episode, how they couldn't get anything going. They finally broke up the big 2 defensemen, Burns and Carlson. Certainly something to keep an eye on. If someone asked me, which way are you leaning, Burns or Carlson for DFS, I would say pick your poison. I like both. I'm more of a Carlson guy. I've got him in season-long formats, so I would stream Carlson. But certainly, if you're looking for a primary defenseman, this is the game you target. You either roster Brent Burns or Erik Karlsson.
And Joe Thornton, we should mention, with that knee infection, it's unclear when he's going to come back. Check your lineups. Check Twitter before the game. See if he's coming back and see if that affects the lineup placement of an Evander Kane or a Timo Meier or someone in that top 6. Definitely worth noting from the Sharks' end. So our DFS picks for Saturday, we've ran through a lot of these games. One note I wanted to point out earlier about the Florida Panthers, who play Friday and Saturday. Colton Sevior is playing with Vincent Trocheck and Jonathan Huberdeau on the second line. So that's someone, a potential sleeper that I would look out for Friday or Saturday night. My picks for Saturday, I like Brian Little. I like what he's done. I like his placement with the resurgent Ehlers and Patrick Laine. Rickard Rakell, if Ryan Getzlaf plays, I would go full-on bounce back for Rickard Rakell for the Anaheim Ducks against the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm not saying Anaheim's going to win that game, but I would expect a strong showing from Rakell. Jeff Petrie against the Ottawa Senators, who are depleted. Jeff Petrie's on that first power play unit because of Shea Weber still being out because of injury. Good category coverage. He has 5 assists in 6 games. I wouldn't be surprised if he scored a goal against the Senators. And then Jonathan Quick against the Sabres. I think if he's in the net, he's going to bounce back against a pretty erratic team right now.
The Jonathan Quick goalie pick, very quality. That game against Buffalo, very favorable matchup. That is almost a lineup lock if you like the Kings. Certainly would feel good about rolling him out. And gotta love Rickard Rakell. I think his value is low right now. His price probably comes down a little bit too. So completely agree with you on that one. The only pick I'm concerned about, Brian Little. I just, too often last season, that second line fizzled out. And then they got hot, and then they fizzled out. I maybe see a little regression there, and I would feel more comfortable going like the Ehlers or the Laine route on the wings, maybe avoiding that center. But you know, that's a solid lineup for me. I'm also hitting the Ottawa Montreal game, starting off with center Matt Duchene. I'm really intrigued just as a hockey fan to watch that game. I think those two teams, it's going to be hockey night in Canada. Everyone, the media is going to be going crazy for it. They're both playing well right now. I like Matt Duchene to make that statement. Look at me, the spotlight's on me. Hey, he's the guy that celebrated his 30th goal of the season when the Avs were well outside of a playoff race. So I think Matt Duchene gets a spotlight, likes a spotlight, certainly roster him as a center. Wing Timo Meier, playing really well. He had a goal in his last game. He doesn't have less than 2 shots in any single given game this year. So you get the insurance policy with a guy like that, probably pricing the 5s, low 6s tops for him. For defenseman, Zach Werenski, he was priced $5,400 in their game against the Philadelphia Flyers on Thursday. Now, he only had an assist, still good in DFS for that price. 2 shots on goal. The thing that's encouraging for Zach Werenski, he had over 2 minutes played on that power play. Columbus is going to pick that pace up. I feel good about Werenski. I know he's still coming back from that injury. Maybe that's why you're not seeing the goals so far this season. Still, 3 points in 6 games for him. I like him to keep that little hot streak going. For my goalie, I'm going to stick right with Columbus. Like I mentioned earlier, I think that game has the potential to be a nice, an exciting goaltender duo game where both Bob and hopefully Crawford are making some stops. If Bob is confirmed to start, I know they've been given some time to Corpusalo, but I'm thinking because Bob just won on Thursday against the Flyers, he will start again on Saturday. If he is starting, he's in my lineup too.
I worry. I have no issue with Werenski. Bobrovsky concerns me a little bit. He's been a little inconsistent so far. He's playing against the Blackhawks, who have a Patrick Kane line and then have a Taves DeBrincat line, also due for a little bounce back on the power play. So I would probably avoid Bobrovsky, but you hit the nail on the head with Duchesne. I already said he's the best center on the ice in that game. And Timo Meier, my only concern would be just watch out for the line combinations in case Joe Thornton returns.
I was a little shaky on Bobrovsky too until I checked the stats. 926 save percentage against the Blackhawks in his career. I just have a feeling that there are some teams that goalies like playing against. This might be one of it for Bobrovsky. I'd rather take the risk. Maybe if people are concerned like you are, his price comes down a little too, even more all in on him.
Well, that'll do it for us here on NHL Fantasy on Ice. Loaded Saturday slate. Enjoy the games. Another fun episode, Rob.
A ton of fun today. Really looking forward to the weekend slate. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at NHL Reese, at NHL Jensen, or our shared account at NHL Fantasy. Send us your questions 24/7. We love this stuff like you guys do too.
And reminder to subscribe on iTunes, Google Podcasts, NHL.com/podcast, Audio Boom, you name it. We'll talk to you guys again next week.